second act of Gilbert and Sullivan's delightful spoof, The Mikado. The scene is Coco's garden, where Yum Yum is being prepared for her marriage to Nanki Poo. Her sisters, Pitti Singh and Peep Bo, are assisting Yum Yum as the chorus of maidens sing Braid the Raven Hair. It is this selection in Yum Yum's aria, The Sun Whose Rays Are All Ablaze, which illustrate the complete versatility of Gilbert and Sullivan. From the gay, quick-tempo, multisyllable lyricizing of Act One, we now hear the delicate beauty of their true genius.
Japanese way, why it is that I am so much more attractive than anybody else in the whole world. Can this be vanity? No. Nature is lovely and rejoices in her loveliness. I am a child of nature and take after my mother.
The sun whose rays are all ablaze with ever-living glory does not deny his majesty. He's going to tell a story. He do exclaim, I blush for shame, so can be the indulgent. But fierce and bold in fiery gold, he glories all effulgent. I mean to rule the earth as he the sky. We
on, don't mind me.
I'm afraid we're distressing you.
Never mind. I must get used to it. Only please do it by degrees. Begin by putting your arm around her waist. There, let me get used to that first.
Wouldn't you like to retire? It must pain you to see us so affectionate together.
No, I must learn to bear it. Now, oblige me by allowing her head to rest on your shoulder.
Like that?
Oh, I'm much obliged to you. Now, kiss her. Oh, thank you. It's simple torture.
Come, bear up. After all, it's only for a month.
No, there's no use deluding oneself with false hopes.
What do you mean?
My child, my poor child. How shall I break it to her? My little bride that was to have been.
What? Yum, to have been?
Yes, you never can be mine.
What?
I'm so glad.
I just ascertained by the Mikado's law that a married man is beheaded, his wife is buried alive.
Buried alive?
Buried alive. It's a most unpleasant death.
But whom did you get that from?
Oh, from Pooh Bah. He's my solicitor.
But he may be mistaken.
So I thought. So I consulted the Attorney General, the Lord Chief Justice, the Master of the Rolls, the Judge Ordinary, and the Lord Chancellor. They're all of the same opinion. Never knew such unanimity on a point of law in my life.
But stop a bit. This law has never been put in force.
Not yet. You see, flirting is the only crime punishable with decapitation. And married men never flirt.
Of course they don't. I quite forgot that. Well, I suppose I may take it that my dream of happiness is at an end.
Darling, I don't want to appear selfish, and I love you with all my heart. I don't suppose I shall ever love anyone half as much. But when I agreed to marry you, my own, I had no idea, Pet, I should have to be buried alive in a month.
Nor I. It's the very first I've heard of it.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does make a difference, of course.
You see, burial alive, it's such a stuffy death.
I call it a beast of a death.
You see my difficulty, don't you?
Yes, and I see my own. If I insist in your carrying out your promise, I doom you to a hideous death. And if I release you, you marry Coco at once.
Howdy-doo, if I marry you. When your time has come to perish, then the maiden whom you cherish must be slaughtered too. Here's a howdy-doo, here's a howdy-doo.
Here's a pretty mess, in a month or less. I must die without a wedding, let the bitter tears I'm shedding witness my distress. Here's a pretty mess, here's a pretty mess.
Here's the state of things, to her life she clings. Matrimonial devotion doesn't seem to suit her notion. Burial it brings. Here's the state of things, here's the state of things.
With the passion that's intense, I worship I and adore. But the law of common sense we oughtn't to ignore. If what I say is true, tis death to marry you. Here's a pretty state of things, here's a pretty howdy-do. Here's a pretty state of things, a pretty state of things.
Here's a howdy-do,
here's a howdy-do,
here's a howdy-do.
For if what I say is true, I cannot marry you. Here's a pretty, pretty state of things.
Here's a pretty howdy-do.
So, the mischievous creators of the Mikado, Sir William Gilbert and Sir Arthur Sullivan, have tossed poor Nanky Poo into another impossible situation. But more about this in a moment. Let's see first how Chicagoland's favorite coffee solves a golfer's dilemma. Back in the city of Titipu, a very disconsolate Nanky Poo now threatens suicide once more, since life without Yum Yum would be unbearable. But Coco insists that Nanky Poo fulfill his contract to die by the hand of the public executioner. In the midst of this discussion, word comes that the Mikado and his entire retinue at this very moment are entering the city. Coco, knowing that his time has run out, demands that Nanky Poo submit to the axe immediately. Nanky Poo agrees, but Coco suddenly realizes that he doesn't have the stomach for the task. Instead, he hatches a plot with the unscrupulous Pooh Bah. An affidavit will be prepared attesting to Nanky Poo's execution and witnessed by all the high officers of state, all of them, of course, being Pooh Bah. This insult shocks Pooh Bah. But a bribe soon heals his injured feelings, and he happily agrees. Coco then sends Nanky Poo off to marry Yum Yum immediately so that he will not be present for the Mikado to see and thus expose the fraud. Nanky Poo and Yum Yum flee together just as the Mikado grandly enters Coco's courtyard.
Second, I'm certainly reckoned a true philanthropist. It is my very humane endeavor to make, to some extent, each evil liver a running river of harmless merriment. My optical sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent the source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. On North Shore, society sinners who chatter and beat and war are sent to hear speeches by communist leeches who preach from 10 till 4. The amateur terror whose vulgar villainies all desires to shirk shall during off hours exhibit his powers to Madame Tussauds waxwork. The lady who pats her makeup on thick and clear also gray hair red, who girdles in here but shows in the rear shall ever be Patrick Alfred. The idiot who on railway carriages scribbles on window panes with gay abandon at Disneyland in the monorail train. Yeah! My optical sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent the sauce of innocent man and of innocent Harry Boot. With tales of countless cures. His defab in Lancashire all be extracted by terrified amateurs. The rock and roll singer attends a series of masses and fugues and ups by Bach interwoven with Brahms and Beethoven, the classical Sunday pops. The billiard sharp, whom anyone catches, his doom's extremely hard. He's made to dwell in a dungeon cell on a spot that's always barred. And there he plays extravagant matches and fitless finger stalls on a cloth untrue with a twisted cue and elliptical billiard. My optical sublime, I shall achieve in time to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent the source of innocent daddy meant of innocent daddy meant.
His optical sublime.
In being permitted to welcome your majesty. I guess the object of your majesty's visit. Your wishes have been attended to. The execution has taken place.
Oh, you've had an execution, have you?
Yes, the coroner has just handed me his certificate.
I'm the coroner.
And this is the certificate of his death.
At Titipoo, in the presence of the Lord Chancellor, Lord Chief Justice, Secretary of State for the Home Department, Lord Mayor, Attorney General, and groom of the second floor front.
Oh, they were all present, Your Majesty. I counted us there myself.
Very good house. I wish I'd have been in time for the performance. All this is very interesting, and I should like to have seen it. But we came about a totally different matter. A year ago, my son, the heir to the throne of Japan, bolted from our imperial court.
Indeed. Had he any reason to be dissatisfied with his position?
No, none whatever. On the contrary, I was going to marry him. Yes, he said.
Oh, I am surprised that he should have fled from one so lovely.
That's not true.
No.
You hold that I am not beautiful because my face is plain. But you know nothing. You are still unenlightened. Learn, then, that it is not in the face alone that beauty is to be sought. My face is unattractive.
Oh, it is.
Bye-bye. Have a left shoulder blade that is a miracle of loveliness. People come miles to see it. And my right elbow has a fascination that few can resist.
Oh, allow me.
It's on due. Two season Fridays on presentation of a visiting card. And as for my circulation, it's the largest in the world. Observe this ear.
Large.
Large? Enormous. But think of its delicate internal mechanism. It's fraught with beauty. And as for this tooth, it almost stands alone. Many have tried to draw it, but in vain.
And yet, he fled
and is now masquerading in this town disguised as a second trombone.
A second trombone?
Yes. Would it be troubling you too much if I asked you to produce him? He goes by the name of...
Nanky-Poo.
Oh, it's quite easy. That is, it's rather difficult.
In point of fact, he's gone abroad.
Gone abroad? His address?
Skokie.
No!
What's the matter?
See here, his name, Nanky-Poo, beheaded this morning. Where shall I find another? Where shall I find another?
dear, dear. This is all very tiresome. My poor fellow, in your anxiety to carry out my wishes, you had me headed the heir to the throne of Japan.
I beg to offer an unqualified apology.
I desire to associate myself with that expression of regret.
We really hadn't the least notion.
Oh, of course, you hadn't. How could you? Come, come, my good fellow, don't distress yourself. It was no fault of yours. A man of exalted rank chooses to disguise himself as a second trombone. He must take the consequences. It really distresses me to see you take on so. I've no doubt he thoroughly deserved all he got.
Oh, we are infinitely obliged, Your Majesty.
Much obliged, Your Majesty.
Oh, very much obliged, Your Majesty.
Obliged? Not a bit. Don't mention it. How could you tell?
Oh, no. Of course, we couldn't tell who the gentleman really was.
It wasn't written on his forehead, you know.
It might have been on his pocket handkerchief, but Japanese don't use pocket handkerchiefs.
I forget the punishment for compassing the death of the heir apparent.
Punishment?
Yes. Something lingering, with boiling oil in it, I fancy. Something of that sort. I think boiling oil, wasn't it? But I'm not sure. But it's something humorous. But lingering. With either boiling oil or melted lead. Oh, come, come, don't fret. I'm not a bit angry.
If Your Majesty will accept our assurance, we had no idea.
Of course.
I knew nothing about it.
I wasn't there.
That's the pathetic part of it. Unfortunately, the fool of an act says, compassing the death of the heir apparent. There's not a word about a mistake.
No.
Not knowing.
No.
Or having no notion.
No.
Or not being there.
No.
There should be, of course.
Yes.
What? There is.
Oh.
That's the slovenly way in which these acts are always drawn. However, cheer up. He'll be all right. I'll have it altered. Next session.
Oh.
Now let's see about your execution. We'll have to luncheon suit you. Can you wait till then?
Oh, oh yes, we can wait till then.
Then we'll have it after luncheon.
I don't want any lunch.
I'm really very sorry for you all, but it's an unjust world, and virtue is triumphant only in theatrical performances.
Got us into with your nodding head and the deference due to a man of pedigree.
Nearly corroborative detail intended to give artistic verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative.
Corroborative detail indeed. Corroborative fiddlestick.
And you're just as bad as he is with your cock and bull stories about catching his eye and his whistling an air. But that's so like you. You must put in your oar.
But how about your big right arm?
Yes, and your snickersnee.
Well, never mind that now. There's only one thing to be done. Nanki Poo hasn't left yet. He must come to life at once. Here he is. Here, Nanki Poo. I've good news for you. Your reprieve.
Oh, but it's too late. I'm a dead man, and I'm off for my honeymoon.
Nonsense. A terrible thing has just happened. It seems you're the son of the Mikado.
Yes, but that happened some time ago.
Is this a time for any persiflage? Your father is here, and with Catishaw.
My father and Catishaw?
Yes. And he wants you particularly.
So does she.
Oh, but he's married already.
What, bless my heart, what has that to do with it?
Catishaw claims me in marriage, but I can't marry her because I'm married already. Consequently, she will insist on my instant execution. And if I'm executed, my wife will have to be buried alive.
You see our difficulty, don't you?
Yes. I don't know what's to be done.
There's one chance for you. If you could persuade Catishaw to marry you, she would have no further claim on me, and in that case, I could come to life without any fear of being put to death.
I marry Catishaw.
I really think it's the only course.
But my good girl, have you seen her? She's something appalling.
Oh, that's only her face. She has a left elbow, which people come miles to see.
I am told that a right heel is much admired by connoisseurs.
My good sir, I decline to pin my heart upon any lady's right heel.
It comes to this. While Catishaw is single, I prefer to remain a disembodied spirit. When Catishaw is married, existence will be as welcome as the flowers that bloom in the spring.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, we promise and merry sunshine. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la, we welcome the hope that they bring, tra-la, for a summer of rose and wine. A summer of rose and wine. And that's what we mean when we say that nothing is
welcome as flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-ha, the flowers that bloom in the spring.
Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, have nothing to do with the case. I've got to take under my wing, tra-la, a most unattractive old thing, tra-la, with a caricature of a face, with a caricature of a face. And that's what I mean when I say all I sing. Oh, bother the flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-la-ha, tra-la-la-la-la-ha. Oh, bother the flowers of spring.
Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la.
The miscreant to rob me of my love, but vengeance pursues. They are heating the cauldron.
Catishaw, behold a suppliant at your feet. Catishaw, mercy.
Mercy? Had you mercy on him? See here, you have slain my love. He did not love me, but he would have loved me in time. I am an acquired taste. And only the educated palate can appreciate me. And I was educating his palate when he left me. Well, he's dead. And where shall I find another? It takes years to train a man to love me. Am I to go through this weary round again? And at the same time implore mercy for you who robbed me of my prey? I mean my pupil. Just as his education was on the point of completion. Oh, where shall I find another?
Here.
What?
The Catishaw, for years I have loved you with a white-hot passion that is slowly but surely consuming my very vitals. Ah, shrink not from me. If there is aught of woman's mercy in your heart, turn not away from a love-sick suppliant whose every fiber thrills at your tiniest touch. True it is that under a poor mask of disgust, I have endeavored to conceal a passion whose inner fires are broiling the soul within me. But the fire will not be smothered. It defies all attempts at extinction, and breaking forth all the more eagerly for its long restraint, it declares itself in words that will not be weighed, that cannot be schooled, that should not be too severely criticized. Catishaw, I dare not hope for your love, but I will not live without it, darling.
Oh, you, whose hands still reek with the blood of my betrothed, dare to address words of passion to a woman you have so foully wronged?
I do. Accept my love, or I perish on the spot.
No! Oh, no! Go to! For who knows as well as I that no one ever died of a broken heart?
You know not what you say. Listen.
Tree by a river, the little tom tit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I cried to him, Dickie bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh willow, tit willow, tit willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow, oh willow, tit willow, tit willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. And now if you remain callous and obdurate, I, sing willow, tit willow, tit willow, shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Sing willow, tit willow, tit willow.
And if you remain callous and obdurate, I will perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. Tale, and quite true. I knew the bird intimately.
Did you? He must have been very fond of her.
His devotion was something extraordinary.
Poor little chap. And if I refuse you, will you go out and do the same?
At once.
Oh, no, no, you mustn't. Anything but that. Oh. And you won't hate me because I'm just a teeny weeny wee bit bloodthirsty.
Hate you. Oh, Katusha, is there not beauty even in bloodthirstiness?
Oh, my idea. Exactly. There is beauty in the bellow of the blast. There's grandeur in the growling of the gale. There's eloquent pouring from the lion. There's a roaring of the tiger. There's a lashing of his tail.
Yes, I'd like to see a tiger from the Congo or the Niger, and especially when lashing of his tail.
The volcano set the splendor that is grim, and earthquakes only terrify the dolls. And that to him who's scientific, there's nothing that's terrific in the falling of a flight of thunderbolts.
Yes, in spite of all my meekness, if I have a little weakness, it's a passion for a flight of thunderbolts.
His act is so sincere, no, it's evident very hard to someone. Away we go and marry, marry, no time to tell it today is done.
There is beauty in extreme old age. Do you fancy you are elderly and nah? Information I'm requesting on a subject interesting is the maiden all the better when she's tall.
Oh, that's my dominion. It's a general opinion that she'll last a good deal longer when she's tall.
Are you old enough to marry, do you think? Won't you wait until you're 80 in the shade? There's a fascination for frantic and a ruin who's romantic. Do you think you are sufficiently decayed?
But to the matter that you mention, I have given some attention, and I think I'm sufficiently decayed. If that is so, sing derry down derry, it's evident very artists are one. Away we'll go and marry, marry, no tardily tarry till day is done. If that is so, sing derry down derry, it's evident very artists are one. Away we'll go and marry, marry, no tardily tarry till day is done. Sing derry down derry, we'll marry, tardily tarry till day.
Now then, we've had a capital lunch, and we're quite ready. Have all the painful preparations been made?
Your Majesty, all is prepared.
Then produce the unfortunate gentleman and his too well-meaning but misguided accomplice.
Mercy! Mercy! Mercy for Cultural! Mercy for Pity Sing! Mercy even for Pooh Bah!
I beg your pardon. I don't think I quite caught that last remark.
Oh, mercy even for Pooh Bah!
Mercy! My husband that was to have been is dead. And I have just married this miserable object.
You've not been long about it.
Oh, we were married before the registrar. Yes.
I am the registrar.
I see. But my difficulty is that, as you have slain the heir apparent...
The heir apparent is not slain.
Bless my heart. My son.
And your daughter-in-law elected.
Oh! Traitor!
You have deceived me.
Yes, I think you're entitled to a little explanation, but I think you would give it better whole than in pieces.
Your Majesty, it's like this. It is true that I stated I had killed Nanky Poo.
Yes, with most affecting particulars.
So merely corroborative detail intended to give artistic verisimilitude.
Will you refrain from putting in your oar?
Narrative.
It's like this. Your Majesty says let a thing be done, and it's as good as done. Practically, it is done, because Your Majesty's will is law. Your Majesty says, kill a gentleman, and a gentleman is told off to be killed. Consequently, that gentleman is as good as dead. Practically, he is dead. And if he's dead, why not say so?
I see. Nothing could possibly be more satisfactory.
And Mary, jump down. Your anger prevailing for all will be merry. I think you advance the car.
Come down
and join our expressions of pain.
Long this subject I pray you be dumb. Your notions, though many, are not worth a penny. The word for your guidance is mum.
Mama,
you got a good bargain in me.
On this subject we pray you be dumb. Dumb, dumb. We think you have medicine. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Goodbye. There are many who went for a penny, who went for a man. There are lots of good wishes to sing. 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 There are lots of good wishes to sing.
The threatened cloud has passed away.
The cloud shines the dawning day.
What through the night may come too soon.
See years and years of afternoon.
Then let the throng of joy advance with laughing song. And merry dancing, let the throng of joy advance with laughing song. And merry dancing, with laughing song.
Repertoire Theater Special. Gill's Brothers Coffee, Chicagoland's favorite coffee for over 30 years, has presented The Mikado.